Luke chapter 2 in your Bible. And I know everybody right there said, what is he going to preach out of Luke chapter 2? Brother Tom, that's the nativity passage. This is Thanksgiving. You should have gone to Psalm 100. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. You should have gone to Psalm 18 verse 49. Where the psalmist David said, therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Brother Tom, you could have preached out of Psalm 35, verse 18. I will give thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. Psalm 106 would have been a great passage, Brother Tom. It's thanksgiving. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen to give thanks unto thy holy name. Psalm 107, verse 1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And that whole chapter, Brother Tom, says to give thanks unto the Lord. You could have preached out of Psalms, Brother Tom. We were ready. We were ready for Psalms. I want to look at Luke chapter 2. Because in the midst of Luke chapter 2, in this nativity scene where Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, where the angels came to a hillside and let some shepherds know, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. In the midst of the verses where Joseph and Mary take him to present him to the Lord, as it says in verse 22, to do the custom of the Jews and fulfill the law, where Simeon looks at Jesus and makes that great statement, a light to lighten the Gentiles. In the midst of this chapter, the Bible gives us a great story of someone who came by when Jesus came in to give thanks. Verse number 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Aser, which was of a great age. And had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, that's 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel. I'm looking through scriptures yesterday, and I'm looking up that word thanks in my concordance, Brother Shane, and here in the middle of Luke chapter 2, the Lord gives us a description of a fine lady who's come into the temple. Brother Don, where we ought to give thanks in God's temple, in God's house, in God's presence. Now, I'm overwhelmed by this passage at who God uses. The Bible says, and I'm just going to say personally, Brother Tom would have to say, if this was not in the Bible four times, Brother Shane, be hard to comprehend that in the church age that God let a woman speak in the temple. Oh my. Let's just give some leeway to Sister Michelle. We'll let her be the prophetess. God used a prophetess, Miriam, in the book of Exodus, the sister of Moses. God used a prophetess, Deborah, in the book of Judges. God used a prophetess, I hope I say this right, Huldah, who was serving in the time of King Josiah in 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles. 3 times in the Old Testament. But Brother Roger, right here in the New Testament, in the temple, a lady. Now, don't get yourself overwhelmed and don't get upset that a lady spoke in the church. She's not preaching. She is prophesying. And let me remind you that the word prophecy means to be a declarer of truth. That's what a prophet was, a declarer of truth. Well, I just want to stop and say that every one of the children of God that sits in this auditorium tonight ought to be a declarer of truth. Now, I'm not saying you're a prophet and I'm a prophet. I'm far from one. But we ought to, Brother Tag, be a declarer of truth. And that's what she's doing here in the temple, day after day, for some 84 years. She's in the temple, Brother Don, giving thanks to the God. fasting and praying. And at this moment, the Bible says that she comes in while Simeon has Christ lifted up in his arms. He took him up and he's declaring that this is a Savior. This is a light to lighten the Gentiles. Here comes this elderly lady, Anna, walks in that instant and stops and gives thanks. Stops to give thanks. Why not some man in the temple? Why not some ruler of the synagogue? Why not some Pharisee? Well, that's not going to happen. Why not some priest? God chose a young lady, not a young, an older lady, let's say a mature lady, to stop and give him thanks. To stop and give thanks, likewise unto the Lord. And now watch this. And spake of him to all them that look for the redemption in Jerusalem. What's she giving thanks for? Here she is, Brother Gary, in the temple. Simeon's exalting him. Simeon's lifting him up. And she stops to give thanks and to speak to everyone in the temple. Now I can see it, Brother Shane. I can see it. I can see the Pharisees. I can see the priest going out of their way to say, quiet. It's not your place. But God chose her. And God put her there. And God says, I'm going to allow her to speak and declare thanksgiving and truth. So what's she thanking God for? Well, when we get to heaven, I guess we'll really find out, Brother Shane. But in my mind's eye, looking at this passage and what's been given in this passage, I think she is stopping to give thanks for what was said of him. Number one, she just heard Simeon declare a light to lighten the Gentiles, and I'll get there in a minute. But here she is, Brother Roger. She's a prophetess. She's a declarer of truth, and the Bible says she began to speak to them in the temple. So what's she speaking? What's she declaring? What's she giving thanks for? I think she's giving thanks for what was said of him. Well, what was said of him? I believe she began to thank the Lord and declare to the congregation in the temple of God that this is the one of whom was said there would be a seed of enmity. Genesis 3:15, spoken by God. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now pay close attention to what's said there. God himself speaks and says there will be a seed of enmity between her seed. Her seed. Well, that's not even biologically possible. But with God, all things are possible. And the seed of enmity would come from her seed. Why? You've heard it. You know it. I don't even have to say it. But just for the very fact that he wasn't born of man, he was born of God. Without sin, spotless and holy, unblameable, undefiled. That seed of enmity. I believe she's declaring, Brother Shane, this is the one of whom was spoken by God that Moses pinned down. This is that seed of enmity. I believe she said, this is the one of whom Isaiah said there would be a supernatural birth. Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. This is the one whom Isaiah prophesied who would have a supernatural birth, and definitely it was supernatural because it was of her seed, divinely touched by God the Holy Spirit and given to Mary in her womb, the Christ child. This is the one who had a supernatural birth. What made it so supernatural? Well, I don't think any other birth before that had ever been proclaimed on a hillside to shepherds. There was no other birth throughout history that had ever been prophesied except this one birth that would be supernatural. There was no other birth that had a star to arise out of Judah that would point some wise men from Babylon to this place. This is the one of whom was said would come a supernatural birth. This is the one of whom there would be a seed of enmity. This is the one of the scriptures which prophesied there would be a sovereign time. A sovereign time. Malachi prophesied, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." And then Daniel prophesied in Daniel 9, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks." That's 69 weeks. "The street shall be built again, the wall even to troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city, and the end thereof shall be with the flood." This is the one. This is the one who would come in a sovereign time. Why not 400 years before, Brother Don? When God cut off and didn't speak to Israel. Why not in the days of Isaiah? Why not in the days of Hosea? Why not in the days of Jeremiah? No, it was at God's sovereign time to fulfill every prophecy of the Old Testament as to when this one would be born. And she's declaring and giving thanks. This is the one. This is the one who's been born at the sovereign time and dealing with God. The seed of enmity. The one who was born of a supernatural birth. The one who came in God's sovereign time. Then I believe she said, "Let me say thanks be to God, for this is the one. This is the one who will be born in a special place." Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. What's Jerusalem? The capital city. It's where the king dwelt. To Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who was born king of the Jews?" That's why they came to Jerusalem. They're looking for the king. But he didn't come as a king. No. He came as a lowly, humble servant. Born to die. Born to give his life. This is the one, she's declaring, this is the one who would be born in that special place that Isaiah prophesied. "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old of everlasting." Where was he born? Down in the city of David. David's city. Well, what was David? Before he ever became a king, before he ever became a sovereign, David was a shepherd. A shepherd. And it was out there on that hillside where them shepherds were, outside of David's city, outside of Bethlehem that night, Brother Don, that God spoke to man. For the first time, he spoke to Mary, he spoke to Joseph, but for the first time in 400 years, Brother Roger, on a night outside the city of Bethlehem, angels filled the sky to give the message from heaven. Glory to God. Unto you, hallelujah, is born this day in the city of David. This is the one. This is the one. Oh, thanks be unto God, this is the one. Born in the special place. This is the one given a sacred name. Isaiah 7:14, "And his name shall be called Emmanuel." Jeremiah 23:5, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper. Oh, he's coming one day to do that. He's coming as king. He was prophesied. Psalm 22:28, for the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful. I want to back that up and say hallelujah, amen, praise the Lord. His name is Wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, master of everything. His name is Wonderful. And we could talk a whole lot about that tonight, Brother Shaheen, how wonderful he is. He's still wonderful in his grace. I don't know about you, but when I consider my life, consider how many times I live selfishly, and I'll just go ahead and admit it, I'm a selfish man, Brother Don. I get proud a lot of times. I even let my wife know before church tonight who cooked supper. I should get some credit for that. Any man that cooked supper for his family before church ought to get credit. Amen. You say, Brother Tom, you're a selfish man. I'm telling you I am. But in spite of me, Brother Don, God's still wonderful in his grace. Because I know good and well, Brother Jim, God should have thrown me away a long time ago. God should have let me go. God should have placed me on a pile somewhere and said, I'm done with you. Oh, thank God he's wonderful in his grace. He's wonderful in his mercy. And he's still wonderful in his peace. And he's still wonderful in his presence and his comfort and his hope and his joy. Oh, babe, can you remember, we were listening to Pandora Radio Christmas music. Yes, my wife already listens to Christmas music. Unlike some of y'all in here, my wife did not decorate before Halloween. Jimmy had his tree up before Halloween. God bless you, Jimmy. But my wife's listening to Christmas music this morning, and I was halfway paying attention because I like Santa Claus is Coming to Town, and I like Rudolph the Red, and I really like I Saw Mama Kissing Santa Claus. But in the midst of that, there come a commercial on, and it spoke of joy. And it said joy, basically the commercial said, joy is realizing that you endured and made it through. And I said, no, it's not. Joy is the presence of the Spirit of God in my life that overwhelms me and lets me know day by day that there is a friend that walks and talks with me. Joy is not based upon me making it through, because I can't make it through without him. He's still wonderful in his joy. I got stuck there. He shall be called Counselor. He's a good job at that. The Mighty God. Oh, Lord, we'll be here a while if I get going on the mighty God. Mighty in creation. Oh, he was mighty at Calvary. Mighty down there in the grave somewhere. He stepped down in the gates of hell and took the keys of death and hell. The mighty God. The everlasting Father from beginning of time that we know to the end of time and far before and far beyond. He's everlasting to everlasting. Mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And I believe, Brother Roger, she's standing in the temple. This lady prophesying, thanks be to God. This is the one. This is the one. The seed of enmity. The special name. The sovereign place. The sacred one. The holy one. This is him. This is him. And I think we all should follow her example and give him some thanks for what's been said of him. But I believe number two, and I'm done, I believe she also was given thanks for what she saw in him. Now, if I may be wrong, we'll not debate it. I'm not here to debate. I'm not arguing after church. But if I get the passage right here, Shane, From the time she was married, in this day, as a young lady, probably 15 to 20 years old, Brother Don, she had a husband 7 years, lost a husband, and she's been a widow of 84 years, 84 years. Now, if I understand right, the Bible says she was of old age. If I get this right, 84 years, 7 married, and probably 15 to 20 before she's married, she's 100 plus. You say, Brother Thomas, she's 104. What's she seeing? She hasn't got good eyesight. She must have had something because she's been in the temple, Brother Richard. She had something that you and I probably couldn't see. She's given God thanks for what was said of him. I believe she's given God thanks for what she saw in him. What'd she see? She saw the same thing Simeon saw, verse number 30. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. She saw what Simeon saw, the Savior of the world. The one that came to redeem lost man from his sins. The one who came to give hope to the children of Israel, but not just to the children of Israel. Glory be to God, Matt, to the world. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. She saw the Savior. She saw the Lamb of God that was going to be slain to redeem mankind from lost sin, the wages of sin, the payment of sin, the price of sin, death. She saw salvation. She saw the prepared plan, verse 31. Which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Now, obviously, Brother Shane, this isn't a man. This is a lady who knows the scripture. Oh, the young men know what it was like to go to the synagogue and go to the temple and learn the word of God, Brother Shane. This is a lady who's got the word of God in her heart. And I believe she's standing and testifying and giving thanks. This is the one that God said was coming. And it was prepared way before we were ever born. God prepared it before he laid the foundations of the world. This is him, the prepared plan for all mankind. And let me back up what Brother Joe hit on. It is all mankind. For whosoever walk through the book of Romans, there is no doubt. You say, Brother Tom, why do you and Brother Joe, why do y'all hit that so hard? Because there's a lost world that needs Jesus, and Jesus loves the world. And he was the prepared plan for all mankind. She saw salvation. She saw God's prepared plan. Verse 32, a light to lighten the Gentiles. And the glory of thy people Israel. This is the light. This is the light of the world. This is the one that shines all alone. Thanks be to God, she saw salvation, the light, the prepared one. But the one that gets me the most is what it says in verse 38. And she coming in at that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for, what's the word? She saw the Redeemer. She saw the Redeemer. Why is that so special, Brother Tom? Well, what's the Redeemer? Brother Shane, I think I know. I think I've been to Bible school long enough and sat in church long enough, and I've heard the best preacher for 16 and a half years. I think I know, but help me, Brother Shane, help me. Help. The Redeemer is one who redeems the people and buys back. The one who buys back. What's he buying back? Oh, glory to God. He's buying back what was lost in a garden. But he's about to go to one. and buy back what was lost in the first. He's about to give his life on a hill in a garden up there on Calvary to redeem and buy back what sin had wasted, Brother Matt. Oh, she saw him. Y'all listen to me. This is him. Oh, thanks be to God, this is him. Thanks be to the Lord, this is the light. This is the Savior. This is the Redeemer who's going to buy us out of the horrible wages. You say, what were the wages to them? It was a lamb every year. Daddy, why do we have to take my lamb? Daddy, can't we go buy a different lamb? Why do we have to take mine? Daddy, when do we stop giving our lamb every year? Daddy, when will we stop having to pay our lamb to atone for our sins? This is him. This is him. This is woo! This is the one. Are you looking for redemption? Hey, children, you wonder when you don't have to give your lamb anymore? He's here. This is him. And she came in that instant and gave thanks. I think all God's people ought to stop and give thanks. Yeah, for our country. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm glad I live in America. Do not get me wrong. Glory to God. Thank God for America. Glory to God. Thank God that we live in a free land still. Hallelujah. Still, thank God for now. Still living in a free land. We do have our own choices to make, I think. Thank God for America. I just want to stop like Anna, Brother Roger, and say, thanks be to God. This is him. I'm glad he's my salvation. I'm glad he's my light. I'm glad he's my redeemer. I'm glad he's my prepared way. He's got a special name, born in a sovereign time, at a sacred place. This is him. And all God's people ought to give thanks. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to just share a little truth and magnify Jesus.